At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
When a man says, "Take a break, honey, you're working too hard," what he means is, "I can't hear the game, stop the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "Oh, honey, that's interesting, dear," what he really means is, "Oh, are you still talking?" When he says, "That's a guy thing," it means his testosterone levels are way too high. When he says, "Can I help with dinner?" what he really means is, "It dinner ready yet?" When he says, sure, honey," or "Yes, dear," it means absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. "Well, honey, you know how bad my memory is," means this: "I can remember the last 3 minutes of last year's Super Bowl, but I can't remember what you told me yesterday." When a man says, "Oops, cut myself, no big deal," what it means is, "I probably severed a limb. I will probably bleed to death before I admit I am hurt." When a man says, "I can't find it," means it didn't fall right into my outstretched hands and I'm sort of clueless. When a man says, "Yes, I heard you, dear," it means I haven't the foggiest clue what you said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough until you stop talking. When he says, "Oh, no, that one looks terrific," what he really means is, "Please don't try on another one. It's late and I'm starving." When a man says, I don't think I can do that today," means shopping is not a sport, and no, I am never going to think of it that way. When he says, I don't remember you saying that," means anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. When a man says, no, that's not what I meant," really means if something I said can be interpreted in two ways, and one of those makes you sad and angry, it's not that one. We are in Judges chapter, we're going to start in chapter 13, and we'll go through most of 14. So we'll read the last two verses of chapter 13, and then we'll read through verse 7 of chapter 14. "And the woman," if you remember, that's Samson's mother, "and the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson, and the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." And it gives you a location, which really isn't that vital. Okay? But the reason I want to say read that part is because if those of you know that you paraphrase what you're going to say, and then you get into detail. So that statement is, "The Spirit of the Lord began to stir on Samson." Now, as we go into chapter 14, it tells us how that happened. Okay? "Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah," that's trouble right there, "one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, 'I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and his mother said to him, 'Is there no women among the daughters of our relatives among all our people? that you would go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. That good part, I ad-libbed a bit. Okay. And however, his father and mother did not know, listen to this, however, his father and mother did not know that this was of the Lord. For he was seeking, that is, God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. And Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily so that he tore him, that is the lion, as one tears a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, he did not tell his father and mother what he had done. So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. You may be seated. Of all the stuff I study and preparing for commentaries and so on, only one of them brought up a point that I'll bring up today, so I hope it gets you. So I want to let you know that, remember, this area right here, Azora, that's where his tomb, Samson's tomb, is today. We showed pictures last week. It's a very wooded, forested, it's a national park, okay? And in those two cities that I didn't read about, basically talks about this region right in here. And matter of fact, let me get a close-up here. So between Zoara and Eshtol right here is about 2.5 miles, about. And over here is about just almost 6. This is where he meets the girl. This valley right here, and I didn't redo the pictures from last week, but if you remember, I showed you from a lookout. That's a great descent from up on those mountains down to that valley. That's where it says, and he went down to see her. Literally, he went downhill. And so that's the basic setting. You'll hear more. There's another woman famous in this story, which I think you probably already know. She's from that valley. It doesn't say what city. So Samson, at this point, right along that ridgeline, that valley served as that buffer between the Philistine area and the Israelite area. And if you recall, the Philistines have been ruling there now about 40 years. This is over near the coast, the west, southwest coast of Israel. And so that's serving as a buffer. So when Samson goes down into the valley, into Timnah, he leaves the, we'll call it the Israelite territory, into the territory of his oppressors. So as many people, and I'm not the one that came up with this, there are several commentators that came up with this, but when he went down to Timnah, he also went downhill spiritually. He's doing something here. He's doing this. Ready? Not me. You may be, not me. And you say, what do you mean? He thinks he can go into the enemy territory, the camp, the area, sort of, if you will, flirt with the enemy, and I use that term because he's meeting a woman here, that he can intermingle, that he can go to their city, he can play with the other side, and it's not going to get him. In my pastoral years of ministry, almost 3 decades now, I'm telling you, I have seen it so many times where people think they can go mingle with the other side, and it's not going to get them. It happens so often, and you guys have seen it probably in clergy as well, famous pastors at the same time. So when he goes down to Timnah, he sees a woman. He doesn't talk to her. He sees her, goes back, tells mom and dad, get this woman for me. Because in those days, you remember, you'd strike a deal. So dad would go to her dad, and they'd strike a deal. I'll give you 3 sheep and a goat for her, whatever. And typically, there would be a party at the groom's house last 7 days. At the end of that 7 days, the marriage would be consummated. So they had this 7-day party. In this particular case, it works the other way around. Samson's parents going, wait a minute, according to Deuteronomy, we're not supposed to be doing this. According to the law, they're not supposed to marry outside the people of Israel. And so what is interesting to me is, so dad arranges this, but they have the wedding at her house. Why would that be? Hey, a little embarrassing here. One of our kids here is running amok. They were raised in the synagogue all their life, and they're going off to marry There's a bit of embarrassment, at least that's my view of it. But on their way, when they're going, convince dad, they're on their way to go talk to the girl and family. As you saw, Samson, somehow he's either ahead of mom and dad, or I don't know how, but he runs into a lion. You all know the story. He kills the lion and throws the carcass aside, right? Later, when he comes back, I didn't read it all, from talking to this young lady, he's on his way back, and he's hungry, and which tells me he's been gone a little while, right? What's in the lion carcass? Yeah, a bee's nest, and there's honey. So, and it's in a vineyard. Why would that be important to this story? Anybody was here last week? Yeah, there you go. Thank you. He being a Nazirite vow from the womb, he's not even supposed to have anything to do with grapes. So he breaks several rules here. He's going to marry a Philistine, a non-Hebrew. He's at a vineyard, and then when he comes back, he touches a dead body. And when you go to Exodus and Numbers, you know what, when it talks about dead bodies, it particularly talks about animals with paws, that they're unclean, and you're not basically supposed to touch their carcasses. So he's breaking many rules along the way here. But that's not my emphasis today. And you're going, good, because I didn't want to hear about that anyhow. Notice it does this as we go further. Well, I got to stop on this. Genesis. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and two become one flesh. What reason is that? No, try again. Come on, Genesis. Think of the Genesis story. When does that statement occur? Come on, you people. He creates Eve, right? And pulls Eve out, makes Eve out of Adam's rib. Adam looks at her and says what? Bone of my bone, flesh. Hey, y'all, me. For that reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So when man gets married, he's looking for himself. In particular, that part he doesn't have. Please don't try to put it back. Are you listening to me, wives? Please don't try to put it back. We'll go on further with that. So Samson's to the point where he saw and he's ready to leave and cleave. I know we tend to think when we say saw, and you read most commentators, they think of it in a more lustful manner. But there's, and you men know this, there's some another connection there, that there's a fulfillment that you see in that lady, young lady's beautiful eyes that will fulfill you. At least that's your hope. But I want you to notice this. The story says, now what? He's operating in a very male manner. Do we get that? Right? He remember being young and indestructible. Okay, especially us guys. That's why you can go on the internet and you see guys doing stupid things when they're young, jumping a bike from roof to roof. You know what I mean? Doing crazy things. They think they're indestructible. And so Samson goes down to the city where all the corruption is. Well, not me. I can take it. I'm a man. Uh-oh. But then it tells us that God was in this. God was in this. He was looking for what? What was God looking for according to the scripture? An opportunity, let me put it this way, to get Samson ticked off at the Philistines. Remember, we read the story at the beginning. He was going to begin the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. But he doesn't hate them. He's willing to marry them. That doesn't make for much of a deliverer. Maybe a peacemaker, you know, when you intermarry with the family. But that's not a deliverer. He's not looking them at the bad guy, the enemy. He's looking them as someone to marry. And God is in this looking for a way to provoke Samson to do what God ordained for Samson to do. Now, let's get real. I didn't say that God tempted him. I didn't say that. I could see this, though. The Satan sitting around, he hears the word come to Samson's mother that the baby's going to be born when you're barren, and he's going to be the deliverer, and of course Satan's going to let that ride. Of course not. Of course not. He comes to steal the word. Read the parable of the sower. Okay, he comes to steal that word. Here he goes down into Timnah. He lives up in the mountains in the country. And he looks down, and you could see a long way, if you recall from last week, and he sees the city, where all the fun is. How many of you grew up in a small town? Do you remember being young and being anxious to leave? They've made movies about that, okay? And so Samson's going down to the big city there. He's a male, by definition. Now, are we allowed to say that today, male? I don't know, but he's a male, and he's going to operate the way a male. The enemy takes advantage of that, but that doesn't surprise God. It doesn't fool God. God says, that's right, enemy. I'll let you do, you go ahead, do your thing. Because I've got a plan you don't know about. So as you know, this maybe you don't know the story, but so they go and have this party for 7 days at her house. And there's these 30 guests there. He's got his best man and stuff with him, but there's these other guests there, these other men, and the men are hanging out doing that men stuff, and you know men never compete with each other. Right? And so they're challenging him, and so he challenges the guys to figure out this riddle, and he tells this riddle. You and I already know the answer, so I'm not reading the riddle. The riddle is, there's honey in a lion's carcass. Okay? That's the answer to the riddle. But the guys can't figure it out. All right? So we get to verse 16 and 17. Now, the marriage is not consummated. It's come to the end of the 7 days, right towards the end of the 7 days of the party. The party's going to end. The guys haven't figured out, and they've made a bet on this riddle, okay? Haven't figured it out. So she's still considered his wife. So Samson's wife wept before him and said, all right, guys, look at me. That'll do it every time. When she starts crying, what do you say? Is this one of those times I hug him or don't hug him? Is this the time I say anything or I don't say? Am I supposed to just sit here and quiet and hug him or cry with him? Or, I'm not sure. But remember, he hasn't been married yet. This is that party week, and now in front of him is the girl that he's married to, begins to cry. Listen to her words. You hate me. You don't even love me. That you read it. Okay? You made this riddle to my friends, and now they can't get it. You don't love me at all. All right? So, however, she wept before him. 7 days while the feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him. Any of the men know what I'm talking about? That word pressed is the same word they use for to siege a city, a fortress. There's a modern, what's a modern word for that? Nag. Yeah, that's what she does, okay? And it says it pressed him hard. So he tells her the riddle, what'd she do? You guys know the story, what does she do? Yeah, she goes, tells those other guests, and now Samson's got to pay off the debt. He's a bit upset here. And in my opinion, it's not because he has to pay the bet off. What is he probably upset about? Yeah. Yeah. In verse 19, we get that phrase again. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took the spoil and gave their changes of clothes, because that was the payoff for the bet. And his anger burned. Now watch what happens. And he went to his father's house. It's honeymoon night. He is, why is he angry, guys? Because he was hurt. See, ladies, you don't get that. Maybe you do. But we men, when we get hurt, the emotion that wants to show up on us on the outside is anger. And so he's angry. He's not going to go to the honeymoon. He goes home. If you're a guy, you probably know why. Because he goes home, that night, the girl's father gives the wife to Samson's best man. Yeah, that's going to help the situation, isn't it? Samson shows up the next day with some flowers. If I recall, it's a grain offering or something. But anyway, with some flowers, basically, to make things right. Father-in-law tells him, I did this last night. But you know what? Her younger sister's prettier. You read it. She's more beautiful. Take her. You don't buy that. And he goes, gets a bunch of foxes, ties torches to their tails. The foxes, of course, run from the torch on their tail. They run through the vineyards. They run through the fields, and they run through the orchards and set the place ablaze. I want you to understand this. Samson is hurting. Can God use hurt? Oh. You mean those awful things they did to me back when? The things that caused me hurt that I'm still not over and I'm 38 years old or whatever it is? God can use that? Yes, He can. He can use the bad behavior of brothers who throw you in a pit and sell you to a slave and you end up in Egypt. He can use that. How do I know that? Because Joseph said so. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Then it says this in verse 11 of chapter 4. Okay? And it says it earlier, but basically the men of the Philistines come looking for him for what he did. He speaks to the men of Judah. Where's Samson? We want to get him. And the men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock at Etam. Where's he hiding? Where's he at? A cave. Ready? He's in a man cave. I know, it's sort of funny. Okay? But anybody remember when David ran, where'd he go? Where'd Elijah go when he fled from a woman? Man cave. Basic title of this message today, it's hard to be a man. So what I've just chose to do today, and I'm going to be honest, I struggled with today's message. No one's, it's Father's Day, but this is where we are in the story. So I was thinking about going somewhere else to have a message for today. And I, even though I have my notes written out earlier in the week, I rewrote it all this morning. It's hard to be a man, especially today. That's why so many quit. I said quit being a man. I didn't say quit being a husband. Quit being a father. Quit being a man. Go to a family reunion. There's Aunt so-and-so, she's 96. You know what I mean? And there's great-grandma. And who's missing? Yeah, most men die trying to be one. Why is that? Let's go back to Genesis, please. What was the curse? Yeah, you're going to have this position, this place, but you're going to die. And I ask you a question, ladies. Why do you want to take his place for? You get the curse that comes with it. I'll keep moving. Men today need older men to show them how to be men. But too many men are quitting early. They're retreating to a cleft, to a cave. We'll talk about that more. Our problem is this. Society keeps changing on us. Now let's back up to your grandpappy or your dad. Depends on how old you were. This is what you looked for in a man. Provider. That's what grandma was looking for. Somebody can keep the farm going or start a farm and work hard every day and provide. It didn't matter if he shared his feelings or not. Matter of fact, he can go storm the beaches of Normandy, come back, and never talk about it. But that's okay. He's a provider. But then the rules changed. The rules change on you along the way. Now if I open the door for the lady, I can do that myself. Oh, you just want to shove it back in their face, don't you guys? They say that, okay, here, let me close that for you and let you try it. A man finds it difficult to continue to do what he thinks he does not do well. So let me put it this way. Why do I have to be a good man when she enjoys being one too? When you take pride, ladies, in what he used to do, he feels useless. Today, there was a time, being strong and muscular and protective and the athlete and all those kind of things, that was a domain of men. And I'm not saying women can't be that. I don't argue that. But today, there women will take pride in being the superhero and saving the man. So guess what the man says? Well, I guess there's no reason for me to do that. Let's go real. You back up in a movie somewhere, John Wayne. Every woman he tried to save would always sprain her ankle, and he'd have to carry her. They've changed the rules now. She's supposed to carry you. And then you're going, wait a minute. Dad, what's manhood? Is it carrying or being carried? Is it providing or being provided for? Is it being strong or crying and sharing my feelings? I'm confused, Pop. And today, when a man believes, and this is, now I'll give a example. I don't do the laundry right. I set it on the wrong temperature. I put the wrong stuff in it. I put the wrong colors with the wrong thing. So guess what I have done, guys? Stop doing laundry. So I know that seems a little odd, but if a man feels like he's not doing it well, he won't do it. That'll be his tendency anyway. But we're not supposed to give up, men. Men are not drawn to critics. Men are not drawn to critics. What are men drawn to? Praise.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.